Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It is October the 2nd. 2023. We start a new week of golf. I'm Ryan Belge. It's good to have you here with us. Hope you enjoyed the Ryder Cup. I was over there for the entirety of it. I was in Rome for 5 days with my wife. Before that, I went to Munich, and then before it for Oktoberfest, and before that, went to the Solheim Cup. And hopefully, you made some money on all of those things. Well, not Oktoberfest. You lose money there, but you have a great time. I blacked out a little bit, came to, recovered, powered through. So, hopefully, this is a victory lap for you as well, but we've been talking about this on the show for weeks, if not months, to bet Europe. And that came through for us, particularly on the Ryder Cup. Easy plus money proposition all the way through. We knew it was going to happen, and it happened. And the Ryder Cup has evolved or devolved into such a huge advantage for the home team that when we come back to this thing in 2 years, we're going to just yell from the top of our lungs, bet America. It's just the way it works. And I don't see any reason for that to change anytime in the future, near future. Solheim Cup, tougher, right? 14-14 in a market where there were ties. If you hit the tie market at 12-1, and I hope you hit it live, by the way, because I was tweeting about that. This is going to end in a tie. And if you hit that at 12-1, you had a nice little time. If you had to retain the cup bet or to win the cup bet and you had Europe, then you won. So we got both those things right, which was good news. This week, we have a couple of different tournaments. Four, really, to think about this week. Five, I guess. But the key one is the Sanderson Farms Championship on the PGA Tour. We'll talk about that during today's show. Tomorrow, we will talk about the modeling for this tournament. And then on Wednesday, we will talk about the three tournaments that I think are most important this week, which is the Ascendant LPGA in Texas. We will talk about the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, their version of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am at St. Andrews in Scotland on the DP World Tour. And then we have the Korn Ferry Tour Championship, which is the final event of the year. For the Korn Ferry Tour, the top 30 players in points will get cards for the PGA Tour next year at the end of that tournament. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then, if you'd like, we can talk about Constellation, Furyk, and Friends, but don't have to. Maybe we will a little bit. We'll see. But that's on Wednesday. The other tours stuff is on Wednesday. So let's get straight here with the Sanderson Farms Championship. This is an interesting field this week. So 144 players. Second event of the fall. Many of these players have not played golf in at least 2 weeks, several in 3 weeks. And we're at a really intriguing part of the schedule because some top 50 players are competing. So you've got Emiliano Grillo and Tom Hoge. Those guys are trying to hang into the top 50 because that gets you invites to three major championships next year just by being in the top 50 at the end of the year. So that's an important one, particularly the Masters piece of it, being in the top 50, right? So that's important for Tom Hoge and, to a lesser extent, Emiliano Grillo. Grillo should be fine in the end, but might have something to worry about. Then you've got players who are obviously trying to get into the top 51 through 60 range in the FedEx Cup fall standings. So taking the regular season, first playoff event, and this stuff, and if you get all into that, you get in the first two mainland United States signature events next year. So a couple of $20 million fields. Then obviously everybody else just trying to get in the top 125, keep their card, keep their status going. Country Club of Jackson is the host this week. This tournament has a tendency to produce strange winners. Guys at 400 to 1, 125 to 1, 70 to 1, 150 to 1. Typically, favorites do not win this tournament. It doesn't mean they can't. Past is not necessarily indicative of the future. But think about that on this golf course. Think about some of the players who have won on this golf course. Let's take a look at the overall odds market, top of the table for this week, and then we'll get into the history of the tournament. So, Ludvig Åberg, by the way, we've been saying his name wrong the entire time. Very sorry to Mr. Åberg. He played great at the Ryder Cup. It's not Åberg, it's Åberg. No G. A sounds like an O. All right, so we'll go with that moving forward. But Ludvig Åberg is playing this week. He's trying to get into the top 50 in the world. Trying to make sure that he has guaranteed status for next year in the, through the 125. He's pretty close, but a good week is definitely a clincher. He is the overwhelming favorite to win this week. He is 10 to 1. And obviously a lot of that is going to be hype coming off of the Ryder Cup, right? I mean, it just makes sense. But that's a terrible price for a guy that's won one professional tournament. Now, that was an important professional tournament, got him to the Ryder Cup. But I can't bet a guy who's played like 15 tournaments as a pro at this price. Next on the table is Eric Cole, 20 to 1. I could bet that. Thank you, Ludvig, because I could bet Eric Cole 20 to 1. Played very well in the Fortinet, has played well recently. Steven Yeager and Keith Mitchell are 22 to 1. I could bet Steven Yeager to a degree. I want him in the 30s, though. 25 to 1 is Emiliano Grillo, the first top 50 player in this field. Decent history here. Decent. Not perfect. I mean, obviously, he has wins, what, 7 and 8 years apart. So it's not like he's a guy who's just churning these things out. S.H. Kim's been playing well. Sung Yoon Kim, 30 to 1. Lucas Herbert, 30 to 1. I actually can get behind Lucas Herbert this week. Find him interesting. Garrick Higgo's interesting to me at 35 to 1. Kind of longer hitting guy. Won on a golf course. Not too dissimilar from this when he won at Congaree. Alex Smalley is 35 to 1. I think absolutely worth a look. Playing quite well. Mark Hubbard, Bo Hostler, Alex Noren, Adam Svensson are all 40 to 1. I think you would be inclined to look toward like Mark Hubbard, but he tends to play his best golf on the West Coast. Bo Hostler maybe is a better play here at 40 to 1. He's been playing largely well this year for his skill level. Probably one of his best seasons, if not his best season on the PGA Tour. Seems to play his best golf in kind of the Southeast. Alex Noren, 40 to 1, just never really delivers. Adam Svensson, same thing. Tom Hoagie's 45 to 1, along with Sam Ryder, the defending champion, Mac Hughes, who was 125 to 1 last year. K.H. Lee, 45 to 1. Doug Gim, 45 to 1. In this group, I think I would be inclined to like Doug Gim the most, but would be willing to give a look to K.H. Lee. Then we get into the 50s. Luke List, Lee Hodges, Kevin Streelman, Hayden Buckley, Davis Thompson, Ben Griffin, Akshay Bhatia. Again, I think Akshay is a better option, but seems to like the West Coast golf the most. Ben Griffin's kind of interesting there. Hayden Buckley, I think, is probably the most interesting play in this group. Maybe Lee Hodges, but he's just so hard to predict. And I don't think this is a golf course that particularly favors a shorter hitter. I think a longer hitter is a better hitter on this golf course, which is why when you get to the 55s, you're going to see some names I'm kind of interested in. Callum Tarrant, right there. Long-hitting Englishman, 55 to 1. Davis Riley, 55 to 1. Peter Quest, 55 to 1. I'll slam that. Sam Stevens, Dylan Wu. Of that group, I would like Peter Quest and Callum Tarrant. Give them to me. 60 to 1. Brandon Wu, Christian Bezuidenhout, Kevin Yu, Nicholas Lindheim, Nick Hardy. All passes for me. Cam Champ, prior winner here, 65 to 1. Just too irregular to get behind. Andrew Novak at 80 to 1 is really interesting to me. I think he can do very well this week. He's remarkably consistent. Plays very well. This isn't necessarily a putters tournament. So MJ Defoe interests me at 75 to 1. If you look at the history of this tournament, players who have won, Mac Hughes, Sam Burns, Sergio Garcia, Seb Munoz, Cam Champ, Ryan Armour, Cody Gribble. You don't necessarily have to be a long hitter to win here. Not saying that. And this demonstrates it. But you don't have to be a great putter, and I would rather be a longer hitter than a great putter. So that's where I think I would tend to lean. Some other players that might be interesting, or at least worth a consideration this week. I talked about Andrew Novak, 80-1. Maybe Zach Blair at 130-1. That is kind of interesting to me. Ryan Gerard at 130-1. I'm a sucker for him so far. I like to bet him. And beyond that, it gets pretty bleak. Yeah, quite bleak. So that's probably where I would lean to, at least initially, in terms of top 20 wagers. The 40s aren't out there, but you start to get your plus money after Åberg, really. I think you're going to find some value in Eric Cole in the top 20 at plus 115, Lucas Herbert plus 165, Bo Hostler plus 190. Maybe Hayden Buckley there plus 230. So that's at least worth considering. And then if you want to look at the just history of this tournament, because otherwise we don't have a whole ton of content for the show, to be honest with you. If you look at the results database available to our members at golfnewsnet.com for $99 a year, and you go to the Sanderson Farms, we'll do the last five. And then you kind of look at our top 15 here. So a couple names come up. Hayden Buckley was fourth here in 2022. That one comes up. MJ DeFoe was 12th here in 2021, when I believe this was a little bit of a different point in the schedule, but nevertheless, about the same. Dylan Fratelli's not really playing golf these days. Mark Hubbard did have a good finish here last year, tied for fifth. That finish earlier that we talked about, that was actually 2022. The 2022 season, but in 2021. Let me explain that a little bit better, because that's the way we have done the seasons here over the years. I'm still exactly not sure how I'm going to put all this in, but I'm going to basically put it in as 2024, even though that's not really true. It's still part of 2023. It's not part of 2024. I don't know how we're going to do that convention-wise moving forward, but at least in the database, that's how you'll see it. SH Kim was tied for 13th here last year, so has been playing pretty well. Seems like the golf course. Also, want to give a shout-out, because I'm seeing his name here on the listing, to Siwoo Kim and Sungjae Im. They were part of the four-man team from South Korea that won the Asian Games team competition, and they won by like 26 shots. And because they won, it's the first time professionals could compete in it. Because they won, they are exempt from two-year conscripted military service in South Korea. So they can continue their careers unabated. Really amazing kind of stuff, with all the pressure in the world on them. The first opportunity for professionals to compete in that. Matthew Neesmith was ninth here last year. Guy worth considering. Maybe. That's a good find. Henrik Norlander this week has a couple of good finishes here. A couple of fourth place finishes, 2021 and 2022. And that gets you 180-1. I'm not saying he's going to win, but that's at least a horse for course play I can live with. Even a 14-1 on top 10, I can live with that. I think that's an interesting play this week. Grayson Sigg was ninth here last year. Starting to kind of figure it out. Scott Stallings has played well here historically. He's 90-1. 6th in 2021, 13th last year. Worth a consideration. We talked about Callum Tarran being a long hitter, like in this golf course. He was 13th here last year. There are not a lot of players with a whole ton of top five finishes. Historically, the goal has been to not play this tournament, right? So it's not bad to play it, but it's kind of closer to an opposite field event than a PGA Tour event you take part in every single year. Because once you play out of it, you don't want to play in it. So the Hayden Buckley one was the one we talked about that I said was 2022. It really was in 2021, but for the 2022 season. So put that in there. So that's that's kind of the mix, the lay of the land here for this week. It's not a great tournament in terms of betting odds, betting numbers. But you do have at least the benefit in the fall of some crazy crap happening. And you may be able to find some players looking at Henrik Norlander. Some people are going to maybe Dak Redmond. That might give you some money at some super long odds. And this golf course tends to give you some strange winners. So at least consider that when making your choice. As I have said before, bet lightly on the fall. Weird stuff can happen. You never know who's motivated. Also, this is effectively kind of starting over. The Fortinet was one thing. A lot of these players hadn't played in 5 weeks. Now, a lot of these guys haven't played in 3 weeks. And some of these guys haven't played in 8, feels like 2 months. But really, for the most part, they haven't played in 3 weeks. So you're going to get some strange results here probably as a result of that. That's worth factoring into anything we talk about this week. Just want to put all of that out there. As I said, schedule for the rest of the week. Talk about the modeling tomorrow, horse for course type stuff. We'll get back into that to a degree. And then we'll talk a little bit about the other major events of the week in the Wednesday show. They do have the odds out. We'll just do kind of a whistle wetter for the Alfred Dunhill Lynx. This is a tournament played on 3 courses on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So you're playing the Old Course, King's Barnes, and Carnoustie. Play one round on each. You have a celebrity partner or a pro-am partner for those 3 rounds. And then they whittle it down to the top 60 for the final round on the Old Course. And the top 20 teams, I think it is, get to the Old Course on Sunday as well. So kind of like the long format for the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It's a great tournament. Really, really fun. Some decent players competing this week, including a handful of LIV players that were sponsor exemptions. So they're allowed to play on the tour, I guess, because of the exemption. I guess the DP World Tour decided to agree. Alfred Dunhill Company, the guy behind it, has kind of made a stink about the DP World Tour banning LIV players. So I think he's made a statement here inviting these players, saying, well, it's all going to come together anyway, kind of type deal. Nevertheless, those players are Taylor Gooch, Dean Burmester, Louis Oosthuizen is playing, Peter Uihlein, and Hudson Swafford, who I don't even think's played all year. He's been injured all year. Well, he's making his comeback in the DP World Tour, of all places. Top of the board, Tommy Fleetwood 8-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick 11-1. Fleetwood loves this thing. Fitz does too. They're playing it regularly. Fleetwood's probably your better play here at 8-1. Again, hard to bet that. Ryan Fox is 18-1. Taylor Gooch is 16-1. I am super curious what Taylor Gooch is going to do this week, because he has stunk it up every time he has played a 72-hole event this year, but he's been really good in the 54-hole tour. So very curious what this will all mean for him this week. Adrian Meronk, I think, is still upset about not being on the Ryder Cup team. 20-1, show me time. He could play very well this week. Billy Horschel's been playing well for a month and a half, 22-1. I'll take that. Dean Burmester is also 22-1. I do not understand that rating. I really don't. He's played well, I think, on LIV, but not that well. Rasmus Højgaard, 28-1, I like better. Torbjørn Olesen, 30-1. Jordan Smith had, obviously, a very nice time of things recently, 30-1. But didn't get the job done in France, so maybe that's a comeback spot. Bob McIntyre's out here, 35-1. Louis Oosthuizen, same price. Yannick Paul, 40-1, along with Peter Uihlein, who I feel like has not played very well in LIV. I don't understand that market pricing. Jaus Luiten, 40-1 as well. Matt Kuchar's playing this week, 45-1. He's played in it previously. Victor Perez, 45. Guido Migliozzi, 45. Some decent numbers out there, but I think maybe live with an Alex Fitzpatrick. Maybe you look at Matthew Southgate. Do like Billy Horschel, do like Ryan Fox, do like Adrian Meronk, and that's probably where I'll stay. But we'll come back to that on Wednesday. Just kind of wanted to set the table a little bit about on that for this week. Thanks for listening to the show. I appreciate it. If you catch us on a podcast platform, let you do so. Leave us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. If you got a question or comment, you can leave one in the review. That's cool. Email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. I'm available on Twitter, X, Threads, and Instagram @RyanBellinger. And we'll be back here with another show to go over the model for the Sanderson Farms Championship tomorrow. Thanks so much for your time. We will catch you then. Talk to you next time on The Press.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.